Today's scripture reading comes from John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, but if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and so now can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
This morning, Brother Randy read for us one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. You see, Jesus is giving us a glimpse of our future with Him. He is telling us that along with Him, the Father and the Holy Spirit, which dwells in heaven, that we as His children can someday dwell with Him. He also tells us that we don't have to worry about our future, because this is what He has planned for us, to be with Him when this life is over. In fact, He tells us that He, at this point in time, He is going to be going home to prepare for us, you and me, this special place, and that He is going to come back to this earth, and He is going to get us, and He is going to take us with Him to live with Him forever in that wonderful home with His wonderful family. Isn't that a great thought? To know that we sit here today in a world that is filled with problems and difficulties in life, and knowing that the day is coming, we're going to get to leave all of this and go to a place of perfection, a place of pure love, a place of pure peace, and have a place there for all eternity. Now, what I want to do this morning is show us how we can achieve this. How can we arrange ourselves to receive this great benefit? And what I want to do is I want to break down the very last verse that Randy read for us, which was verse 6 of our text, that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about Jesus the way, Jesus the truth, and Jesus the life. Now, you're already thinking, I know we're going to be here all day. Well, I'm going to split this lesson. I'm only going to cover part of it this morning, and I will cover the rest of it tonight. So please make your plans to come back this evening and finish this lesson with us. First of all, I want us to discuss Jesus the way. We will spend this morning on the way. Tonight, we will talk about the truth and the life. You know, there are several things that Jesus is the way for in our lives. That's what I want to talk about this morning. First, I want to suggest to you that Jesus is the way to a better life. Now, I do hope, and you've heard me say this before, I hope that every one of us here this morning will understand and agree to the fact that our lives are better because we are part of God and His family. We have benefits and blessings that other people on this earth do not have, blessings and benefits that other people on this earth cannot have. And it is all because we are a part of Jesus Christ and a part of His church. You know, Jesus told us in John chapter 10 and verse 10, He said, my purpose is in coming was to give you life and a better life. He said, I have come that they may have a better life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, that they that He is talking about is you and me and all of those who have chosen Him in our lives. Jesus provides for us a better life by, first of all, offering solutions to our problems in life. Now, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Who in this room do not have problems in life? None? I don't care who you are. You got a problem. If you raise your hand thinking you don't have a problem, you have a problem. We all have problems that make life difficult. We have to make choices, and you know, whether we want to admit it or not, sometimes we make wrong choices. That's a problem, isn't it? We have problems that sometimes will create guilt in our lives because we feel guilty about mistakes that we have made in life. We all have problems that will bring on fear. We even have problems that will bring on self-pity. But you know, Jesus never promised us a rosy life, did He? He never promised us a road that will be filled with silk and be smooth and easy with no bumps, no luxury, no wealth. He didn't promise any of that. In fact, He promised us right the opposite. In Luke chapter 9, verses 19 and 20, it says here, "Then a certain scribe came and said to Him, 'Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go.'" Boy, isn't that loyalty. Isn't that wonderful? Here is a man who has such love for his Lord. "Lord, I am going to follow You regardless of where You go and what You do." And listen to what Jesus told him. "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." In other words, your life as a Christian may not be easy. In fact, your life as a Christian will not be easy. You're going to face problems because you are a child of God. You are going to have people who don't appreciate you because you are a child of God. You're going to have people who are going to be against you because you are a child of God. So life isn't always going to be happy because of who you are as a Christian. But He does tell us one thing. He does tell us that we have a loving Father. And He does tell us that our loving Father cares for us and provides for us the things that we need in life. And He reinforces this thought in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 31. He says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' Or 'What shall we drink?' Or 'What shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, if you go back a few verses, He's talking about people who worry about what they're going to wear, what they're going to eat. They even worry about how many hairs they have on their head and how pretty they are. But you know, the happiest people in the world are not those who have things. You look around at the people who we know are, from a physical standpoint, wealthy. They're not near as happy as you think they are. Because wealth, physical wealth, will not bring happiness. I've told y'all this before. When I was working at Motorola, every year we would get the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes letter. Y'all get those? And I would pick out what car I wanted, and I would pick out my house, and I would pick out all the different things that they let you choose. You know, I haven't got that little red sports car yet. But you know, I do just fine with what I have. God has seen to it that I have transportation. He has seen to it that I can get from place A to place B with no difficulty. He has taken care of that, and I didn't have to have that little red sports car to do it. He has taken care of my needs. Every one of us in this room is sitting here. God has taken care of you. And you need to know that. The happiest people in the world are those who have committed themselves to following Jesus. Amen. There's nothing like it. There is nothing this world can give you that can even come close to what God is giving you. And I'm not talking about the physical things now. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings that we have. You and I, when we read this passage a while ago, where is he going to prepare for us? A place for us to live forever. Listen, where you're living now is not going to last forever. It's going to be dust someday. If time stands. God's blessings are so far greater. Jesus Christ is the way to a better life. And we need to know that. Next, Jesus is the way to forgiveness of our sins. You know, sin is a far more physical or far more serious threat to our well-being than any physical, any economical, or any social danger that we may face. And all of us in this room have faced all physical, economical, and social dangers in life. We've done it all. But sin is a far greater threat than any of these things. And the greater danger is that every one of us are guilty of this. Because we've all done it to ourselves. And the worst part is that you and I are absolutely helpless to fix this problem by ourselves. We have got to have divine help to fix the problem of sin. And God knew that. And that's why he began all the way back, even before the foundation of the earth, to fix a problem that had not yet happened. And in our reading, as far back as Genesis chapter 3, God instituted the very beginning of his plan to fix this problem. Now, this problem has been fixed. Jesus fixed it on the cross. It will be in completion at the end of time when you and I get to go to this wonderful place called heaven. Sin is a violation of God's law. And only God can forgive that. Fortunately, he has made provisions for the forgiveness of our sins. And it comes through Jesus Christ. Paul tells us, Ephesians 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Peter joins in, 1 Peter 2 verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, in other words, given up our sins, might live for righteousness by those by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus did it for us, so we don't have to go through that. And after his resurrection, Jesus explained how those who are lost in sin can have remission of sin and find that salvation. In Matthew's account, this is what he said to his disciples before he left earth. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. You know what that means? I can say this. I can say this with authority. I can say this because it's going to happen this way. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Baptizing them, teaching them, and I will be with you when you do that. Mark says about the same thing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. You know, a lot of people in the religious world like to leave part of that verse out. They only like that that last part. They forget about that first part. But it's there. They can't deny it. Jesus is the way. He is the only way for the forgiveness of our sins. Next, Jesus is the way to God Himself. Now, every one of us in this room, we need forgiveness of sin, don't we? Every one of us. But folks, that's not all we need. We need more than just forgiveness of sin. We need to be restored to that close union that man lost because of sin. Those of you that were here this morning in our Bible class, we talked a little bit about this. We talked about the equality in the Garden of Eden between man and woman in particular, that they were completely equal in every way. Sin changed every bit of that. Sin took away our equality. Sin took away our ability to be with God, because we know that God walked in the garden with man before sin. And after sin, that stopped. You see, we need that relationship again with God. And when sin took its place in Genesis chapter 3, different things happened to man on that occasion. First of all, punishment immediately began. Genesis chapter 3, 16, he was talking to the woman here. He said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow in conception. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. They're no longer equal. God has taken that away. No. Let me rephrase that. God did not take that away. Sin took that away. Genesis 3, 17, 18. He's talking to Adam now. Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and you've eaten from the tree which I said not to, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth. You shall eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, and you will return to the ground, for out of it you came. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. Now let's go back to verse 14. He is going to condemn the snake. So God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all of the days of your life. Now comes something different. Verse 15. He is no longer talking to snakes. He is now talking to the snake, Satan himself. And he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is it. This is the first indication. God is going to fix this. He is going to send his son that is going to bruise your head. Satan, you're dead. You can't win. Oh, you may hurt Jesus. You may bruise him. You may cause him to go to the cross. You may put him in the tomb. But he won't stay there. He will come out of that. And then he will go back to the Father. And he will come back here and take his followers with him to be with him forever. God is sending His Son to recreate that relationship between God and man. And that's why Jesus stated in our text, He's the only way for us to reach God. And it is so important that we know that. And then finally, God is the way out of religious confusion. Millions upon millions, even billions of people today are honoring Jehovah God or a God out of religious confusion. But Jesus is the only way to bring an end to religious confusion. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Y'all know this man? Ever seen him before? His name is Henry Ford. One day, Henry Ford walked out of his garage and announced to the world that he had built the Model T car. Now, some of you kids, look at that car. You ever seen anything like it? Cars don't look like that today, do they? Not at all. Interesting thing about this Model T car that Henry Ford is standing by. He didn't name it Chevrolet. He didn't name it after Lewis Chevrolet, which if you drive a Chevrolet and I drive a Chevrolet, my Chevrolet was made by Lewis Chevrolet. He didn't name it Dodge after Horace and John Dodge. If you drive a Chrysler or a Dodge or a Plymouth, if anybody still drives Plymouths, I don't know, your vehicle was named after the Dodge brothers. Henry Ford didn't name his car after the Dodge brothers. He named it after himself. It was his car. It was his creation. And he named it the Model T Ford. Baron, why are you telling me all this? Well, it's like this. In Matthew 16, Jesus announced that he is going to build a church. He tells Peter in Matthew 16 and verse 18, "And I say also unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What is Jesus saying? I'm going to build what? My church. Notice that he did not name it after Martin Luther, which Martin Luther's followers named their church after Martin Luther, and therefore today we have the Lutheran Church. And the Lutheran Church claims to follow Jesus Christ. But they named the church after Martin Luther, which, by the way, Martin Luther fought this to the bitter end. Don't name this church after me. This is Jesus' church. He failed in that. Something else that Jesus did not do. He did not create a lot of methods, changes to what he was building, and call it the Methodist Church, as many religious people have done today. He also didn't name it after his cousin John, which was the Baptist, which the largest of the Protestant groups today have done. He didn't do that. You know what he did? He named it after himself. I will build my church. In Acts 11, verse 26, the disciples were called Christians. What's the first part of the word Christian? Christ. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And Antioch, of course, was sort of the birthplace of Christianity in many ways, and as far as Paul was concerned, and it just spread like wildfire from the city of Antioch. And they called themselves not Peterites, not Paulites, not Johnites, not Jamesites, Jesus. They called the church after Jesus. But yet so many people feel that they need to attach themselves to a prominent name or a prominent belief to be a Christian. And I'm not going to go around telling everybody that I bought an automobile that was made by Henry Ford. I didn't. I bought a Chevrolet, named after a Chevrolet. I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. I don't follow Martin Luther. I don't follow the Methodists of men. I don't follow John the Baptist. I follow Christ. Because he built my church. Jesus did not approve of this confusion. John 17, beginning with verse 20, he said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Us who? God and Christ and the Holy Spirit. Not men, not actions, not ideas, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be just as we are one. We read the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2, verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. He added them to what? The church. How many did he add them to? One. That's it. And there's no other way to look at that, folks. Paul talked about oneness. Ephesians 4, begin with verse 4. There is one body. Listen to these names he puts out for you. There is one body. There is one spirit, just as you was called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you. Did you get that? One, 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 one. And there's no other way to look at that. The oneness of Jesus Christ. The oneness of his church. Unfortunately, you don't have to go but a few feet outside of this door, and you're going to find religious confusion. Even just across the street, because two of them across the street have already given different names, different doctrines, different beliefs, and they claim to follow Christ. But what they're teaching does not come from Christ. It's confusion. Jesus is the way out of religious confusion. We're going to stop here today. Lord willing, we will continue this tonight. We're going to talk about Jesus the truth and Jesus the life. So please make your plans to come back this evening. I know we got some folks here that are morning people only. Please come back tonight and finish this study with us. We would love to have you. As we close our lesson this morning, I do hope that we can clearly see there is no other way to get to God than Jesus Christ. There is no other way to secure forgiveness of sin except Jesus Christ. There is no other way to end utter confusion in religion except through Jesus Christ. God began his plan for redeeming man as early as Genesis chapter 3. He completed that plan when Jesus went to the cross for the sins of the world and rose from the dead. To overcome death so that you and I can overcome death. And my friends, you can overcome death today. This morning, if you are not a Christian, you can overcome spiritual death by giving your life to the Lord. Please do that today. Through faith, through repentance of your sins, by confessing Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. This is the way through the Son. If you've done this and you've gone back into the world of sin, God has again provided a way for you to come back to Jesus. And again, it is through Jesus Christ. James tells us how. James 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. For the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we will pray with you. We will pray for you. And God will receive you again. This morning, if you need to return to the Lord or come to the Lord for the first time, do it now while we stand and sing this song.